Pray with me. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is the first Sunday in Lent. Lent began with Ash Wednesday, recalling the fall of Adam and our own mortality. How many times have we in all humanity continued to be disobedient to God? But during Lent, we journey with the new Adam, Jesus Christ, who is our redemption and salvation, as he is tested in the wilderness. Jesus, led by the Spirit, enters the wilderness to have a deliberate showdown with the devil. Biblically, within the historical tradition of the church, the wilderness or desert has been a place of testing and battleground. An image of the world, both the dwelling place of demons and a source of divine tranquility and victory. 40 days Jesus is tested by the devil in the wilderness. 40 days in the wilderness reminds us of the 40 years God's people wandered in the wilderness to be tested by God so they could grow in their faith. The Israelites, like Adam, did not pass the test. They continued to be disobedient to God. But Jesus, the new Adam, the Israel, as Israel should have been, enters the wilderness to be tested. God declares that Jesus is the Son of God at his baptism. He is the Messiah. But the question to be answered during this temptation is, what kind of Son of God is this? What kind of Messiah will Jesus be? And what will his mission to save the world look like? The devil tempts Jesus in the wilderness. He first tempts Jesus, appealing to his hunger, his basic need for food. The tempter is not really questioning Jesus' identity as the Son of God. He is questioning Jesus about what it means to be the Son of God. Jesus responds with Holy Scripture, quoting Deuteronomy 8:3, "One does not live by bread alone." By rejecting the first temptation, Jesus rejects an earthly kingdom and shows us not to forsake God's word for the pursuit of earthly comfort in the food which perishes. While Adam disregarded the divine word in order to pursue the passions of the body, the new Adam, Christ, conquers all temptation by the divine word of God, giving human nature the power to conquer sin. Satan then tempts Jesus with ruling over the kingdoms of the world. And so Jesus responds with Scripture from Deuteronomy 6:13, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Jesus refuses to act like the world. He refuses to understand power like the world understands it. He will not take the devil's road to glory, which would lead him away from his own suffering and death on the cross for the redemption of the world. The third temptation is to throw himself down from the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. Here the devil quotes Scripture. Yes, he knows Scripture too. He quotes Psalm 91:11-12. But Jesus responds by quoting Deuteronomy 6:16. "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Trials and temptations will come on their own. We should never intentionally expose ourselves to danger in order to test or prove God's protection. To do so is to tempt the Lord. Unlike disobedient Israel who failed their test in the wilderness, Jesus is victorious over the devil's temptations. Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, who's obedient not to the devil's word, but to God the Father's word. God will determine what Jesus will do. The devil offers Jesus a life and identity of self-indulgence. Make yourself bread from stones. Of self-interest and power for the good of one's own self. All nations of the world will belong to you if you worship me. and of self-serving and self-aggrandizing religious identity. If you are the Son of God, cast yourself from the top of the pinnacle. The devil would love nothing more for Jesus to do as he would like, to show great acts of power and rule the way the world does. But Jesus responds to Satan with Scripture, indicating that his reliance is on God, his dependency is on his Father for life, glory, and identity. And these things involve his going to the cross, not as a militant leader, but as a suffering servant who will die for the salvation of all. And then Luke tells us perhaps something very disturbing. He says the devil departed from him until an opportune time. Later, as Jesus is getting close to his suffering, we hear how the devil will later enter Judas and entice him to betray Jesus. On the Mount of Olives, before Jesus' arrest, Jesus' trial with Satan will be renewed as he confronts the full reality and depth of his horrific suffering and death on the cross. And Jesus will pass the test once again as he prays that the Father's will be done and journeys to the cross and to his death. So in many ways, the temptation scene points to Jesus' victory on the cross, where he conquers sin, death, and the devil with love. The misuse of our power, our failure to use our power at all, is what undoes most human life. Jesus does not show us that way. What Jesus' temptation reveals to us is that he was tested just like we are tested daily. As the letter of the Hebrews tells us, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. The devil tries to tempt us. He doesn't tempt us to do really, really, really bad things. But what he tries to do is help us to rationalize our choices that enforces our appeal to our own selfish desires. But he doesn't work with Jesus. The only desire Jesus has is to be obedient to his Father's will. And so we can pass the trials of this world. We can be spiritually stronger because Christ lives in us. And we love in him. After we have passed through the Red Sea of our baptism, we will be tested. But we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We live in Christ, who has the power to set us free from sin into a life of true transfiguration. We don't have to go to a geographical desert or wilderness to find God, but we most certainly will have to go through one, the spiritual desert of our trials and testing in this world. As St. Anthony the Great insists, a man should expect temptation until his last breath. Elsewhere in the sayings of the Desert Fathers, there's a description of the death of Abba Sissos, one of the holiest and best loved of the old men. The brothers standing around his bed saw his lips were moving. "Who are you talking to, Father?" they asked. "See," he replied, "the angels have come to take me, and I'm asking them for more time. More time to repent." His disciples said, "You have no need to repent." But the old man said, "Truly, I'm not sure whether I have ever begun to repent." It appears the more holier we become, the greater our acknowledgement that we are sinners. But there is comfort in knowing that God remains faithful even when we fall. He is still there like a waiting father ready to receive us back into his loving arms of grace. In Lent, we remember our baptism. We are not people of this world. We are people of the kingdom. We have been named and claimed to be children of God. As St. Paul says in Ephesians, he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before Him in love. He destined us for adoption as His children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace that He freely bestows on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace that He lavishes on us. We didn't choose God, but He chose us. And so we have been given. It's not something we've earned, but an amazing, extravagant gift. Jesus, with all His holy things, His redemption, salvation, new transfigured life, is a gift. And so Lent, too, is a gift. It is a gift of renewal through our encounter with Christ, who is able to help us guard our hearts against the devil's temptations. It is the church's springtime, in which the spiritual disciplines of Lent help us to grow in our faith. As we come out of the dead of winter, Jesus breathes new life into us through His Spirit, so the deadened parts of our lives can have new life. Through the winter's death of our struggles, Jesus calls us to reclaim our baptism, to be reminded of our destiny as the resurrected, transfigured people of God. And Lent calls us to move further, to make that destiny a reality, to move more deeply into our identity as the body of Christ, to fall more deeply in love with our Beloved, Jesus Christ. And so Lent is our wilderness journey to be shaped into the likeness of Christ so our life can be whole and holy, and so we can more deeply feel the joy of the Paschal feast and be more deeply transformed by the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. Amen.